1 Timothy chapter 1. As I said last Wednesday night, sometimes we can read over a couple of verses and not realize how much there is there and how important it is. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, as Paul writes to Timothy in verse number 2, he says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith." Paul says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this evening that we can open up the words of God. And Lord, may they be an instruction to our heart and applied to our life, that our life would bring honor and glory to thee as we trust in thee. We believe in thee. May we trust in thee. May we live by faith for thy glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Back in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 4, it's the circumstances where the disciples are in a boat and a storm comes up and the Lord Jesus Christ is with them. And the storm causes them to fear. But the storm does not disrupt the thoughts, the mind, the emotions, the life, or anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ would ask this question to the disciples in that boat that night. He says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And as he asked that question, he really gives us a real stark contrast between two things, fear and faith. And so as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing to Timothy, encouraging Timothy in his faith. But when you really, you just stop and you start thinking about it, the contrast is very stark. It's not that they're this close together. It's that they're this far apart. And fear does one thing in our life, and faith does the exact opposite. And they are not compatible. They do not get along. There is no unity. Fear overwhelms you. Faith overcomes. Fear will starve you. Faith will satisfy you. Fear will cause you to be blind by the circumstances. Faith will cause you to behold the one that can change all the circumstances. Fear looks at the mountain, if you will. And faith looks at the one that made the mountain. Fear will slow you down to a stop, but faith will move you along at a greater pace. Fear can only make you crawl in the dust, but faith causes you to climb to the mountaintops. Fear robs you while faith rewards. Fear will cast you down, but faith will lift you up. But listen, fear will be silenced when faith speaks. You see, fear cannot dwell in the same room with faith. Where faith abides, there's no room for fear to be. And fear will flee when our faith is flourishing. But that brings us to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Because the strength of my faith is the substance of my faith. Or should I say the substance of my faith is where the strength of my faith is. The strength of my faith is not of myself. The strength of my faith is the one in whom I trust. And to have a powerful faith that overcomes, like it says in 1 John, faith is a victory that overcomes the world. Or this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. To have a powerful faith, an overcoming faith, your faith must be personal. It must be more than anything else. It has to be personal. And this is what Paul is encouraging Timothy about when he says, God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's not only speaking about his faith, but he's saying, Timothy, the faith that I have, Paul would say, I know whom I have believed in. He says, I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And he's reminding Timothy, as we are reminded and encouraged from the scriptures, that our faith needs to be personal. I think that's one of the greatest challenges for young people growing up, is not only learning the Bible stories, not only learning the promises of the Word of God, not only learning the verses, but learning what it means to have a personal faith, a personal relationship, a personal walk where you trust in a personal God. You see, faith must be personal. Your faith does not work for me. My faith does not work for you. And my faith and your faith needs to be a personal faith in a personal God. Anything short of that is not a faith that will overcome all the difficulties of life. And yet what I see in 1 Timothy chapter 1 is the four building blocks of faith, of a personal faith, because they all have to do with the person of God, the person of Jesus Christ. Paul would write in the book of Colossians chapter 2, and as he writes to those Colossians, he starts off and down in verse number 5, and he speaks about their faith in Christ. And he goes on to speak about how they received Christ. They walk in Christ. They're rooted, they're grounded, they're built up in Christ. And he speaks about the steadfastness of their faith in Christ. But he comes all the way to verse number 10 and he says this. He says, and you are complete in him. But it's all about him. It's all about our faith being in him. And so tonight, as we look, we can look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. And I want us to see these four building blocks of faith, because I firmly believe that if our faith is going to be a powerful faith, then we have to meditate and dwell on and seek to know more and learn more and just focus more on these four aspects of our faith, because they're all wrapped up in the person of God and the person of Christ. We can memorize all the promises in the Word of God. But memorizing a promise without trusting the person that made that promise will really not avail you much. But when you trust in the person that made the promise, you'll have the confidence to claim that promise. And the promises of God are sure because of the person of God that made the promise. And so I want us to look and just go through these four building blocks. It starts in verse number 1. And the first one is the commencement of our faith. Where does our faith begin? Well, it begins with our salvation. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. That's where our life of faith begins. That's where our walk of faith begins. Because without God, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, without a relationship with God, without salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are without God and you're without hope. And if you're without God and without hope, there's only one thing that you have, and that's fear. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, you're like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up its mire, and there is no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. But when a person comes to believe in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, that he died for their sins, paid the price for them, rose again victorious from the grave, and they place their faith and trust in him, not only are they saved, but a new life begins. A life of faith, where instead of walking through this life and through this world without any hope, trying to walk it on your own, instead, you can say with Paul, I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he, not me, not you, he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And what have you committed to him? Everything. You've committed your salvation, your eternity, your life, everything. And so the commencement of our faith is in our salvation. But that's only the beginning. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. It says from faith unto faith. And so now, having begun by faith, as Paul would say in the book of Galatians, he says, having begun in faith, let's not turn back. Let's not turn aside. Let's not lose sight of it. Let's not, beginning in the Spirit and beginning by faith, go over and lose sight of it and begin to walk in the flesh. Let's keep walking by faith. And the next three are where our faith grows and how our faith grows. The Bible says we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And our faith is to grow. It's one of the desires, one of the prayers Paul had was that our faith would grow, and our faith is to grow. And so the second one is this. Look at verse number one. The commencement of our faith is in God our Savior. That's where it all begins. Because does not Genesis 1:1 say, in the beginning, God, right? But look at this. Look at the next aspect of faith, the next building block of faith. Now that I've begun, now that God has saved me, look what it says. Not only by the commandment of God our Savior, and then it says, Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Second one we see is the conquering of our faith. The conquering of our faith. Because it says, Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. But our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, which speaks to this, not only that Jesus came, not only that Jesus Christ lived without sin upon this earth, not only that Jesus Christ was able to do all those miracles, not only that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was buried, but that Jesus Christ arose victoriously from the grave. Now, what does that mean to you and me in our life? Oh, we know it speaks much in regard to our salvation, for without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there'd be no salvation. But Paul has moved beyond the aspect of salvation. He says, Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. The Bible says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And it says, Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And what this speaks to, listen, when Jesus Christ arose from that grave, The Bible says he triumphed openly. And in resurrecting from the grave, he conquered everything we will ever face in this life. Stop and think about that. He has already conquered everything. The Bible says the last enemy, the greatest enemy, the enemy that brings us into bondage all the time is death. So the greatest enemy every one of us will ever face, Jesus Christ already conquered. So therefore, when I am trusting in Jesus Christ, when I am trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, my faith is in the one that has conquered everything already. Imagine what, just stop and consider what we're saying here, all right? If it was in regard to sports, you'd say, hey, I'm trusting in someone that's never lost a game, right? I'm trusting in the one that has conquered everything. So guess what? If he's already conquered everything, then in regard to my life, I'm trusting the one that can conquer everything in my life, right? Stop and think of the conquering aspect of faith. That there is no situation in my life. And when it comes to faith or fear, it's every aspect of life. Finances. It's either fearing or faith. Health. It's either fear or faith. Relationships. It's fear or faith. Raising your kids. Fear of everything. It comes down, am I fearful? Or I do have faith? Am I troubled about it? Or am I trusting God with it? And when I realize, when I think, and I stand there, you know, I got this thing on my bureau up at the house. And I was thinking about it the other day. And it's a good saying. It's a good saying. Don't get me wrong. It says, what does it say? It says, don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is. Yeah, but then I started thinking. I said, well, wait a minute. Forget it. I'm not even going to talk to my problems. I'm just going to talk to my God, right? Why am I wasting my time talking to my problems? I'm just going to talk to my God. Doesn't that make sense? And let my problems hear my conversation with my God. I'm not going to get in an argument with my problems. Your problems are like that little child that goes over in the corner and starts to pout. Right? What good does it do to walk over that little child and try to reason with that little child? You want to pout over it? Go ahead and pout. I'm just going to keep moving on, right? And so you know what? Our faith, number one, commences with our salvation. But our faith is in the one that has conquered everything. But then it goes on. It goes on because look what he says in verse number two. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. And now we have the comforter of our faith, the comfort, if you will. Is that, you know what? Because of my salvation, because of God our Savior, God is my Father. And what has he said? He says, come boldly unto my throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And what will that bring about? Peace. But that's my comfort. That's the comfort of my faith, that no matter what's going on in my life, no matter what, every day, every day. By faith, I can talk with my Father in heaven. And he says, I will give you grace. I will give you mercy. I will give you peace. And by the way, when Paul writes in general to the churches, he says grace and peace. But when he writes to these individuals, he writes to Timothy, he says grace, mercy, and peace. Because he's stressing how personal it is. And the comfort in life only comes through your faith in God. Your Father, your Heavenly Father. As we heard Sunday morning, my Heavenly Father knows everything I need. He knows it's everything I need. Not only in the material aspect of it, not only in the earthly aspect of it, but the inward aspect of it. My Heavenly Father knows when I need peace. He knows when I need mercy. He knows when I need grace. He knows when I need rest. He knows when I need conviction. He knows when I need encouragement. He knows everything I need within and without. And he says, you trust me, you come to me, I'll not turn you out, I'll give it to you. And so number three, the comfort of our faith. It starts, it's the commencement of our faith, is our salvation, God our Savior. The conquering of our faith, that our Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. He's our hope. The world doesn't have hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. But I've got hope. And that hope is sure and steadfast. And then the comfort of our faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. And then it says one more. One more. Verse number two. And Jesus Christ our Lord. But notice, I want you to notice something here. When he says in verse number one, our hope, he says, Lord Jesus Christ. He starts off with the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's raised himself up from the grave. Speaks of the power of the resurrection. Speaks of the conquering power of Jesus Christ. But now, he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he doesn't say Christ Jesus our Lord. He doesn't say Lord Jesus Christ. He says Jesus Christ our Lord. Because here is our confidence, the confidence of our faith. And this is where it builds to. When the commencement of my faith is God my Savior, and the conquering of my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. And the comfort of my faith is in the grace, mercy, and peace from comes from God our Father. And then he says, and Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice how he starts off. He starts off with the personal name of Jesus Christ. He starts off with, he's reminding us, your confidence is in that person. Jesus, that one that came to earth, that one that lived and died, rose again, went back to heaven, and is seated on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you. But he says, Jesus Christ, what does he say? Jesus Christ, our what? Our Lord. Our Lord. Our Lord. And you know what he's speaking about there? He's speaking about the fact that Jesus Christ is seated on the right hand of God, and he's the master. And guess what? He's got it all under control. He's in control. Because so many times, we think our life is spinning out of control. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. He controls. He's in control. He's got his hand on the throttle. He's got his foot on the brake. He's got his hands on the steering wheel. And he's got you all buckled in. And he says, I am your Lord. I am your Lord. And that's where our faith rises to. That's where our faith builds to. From our salvation to knowing that Jesus has conquered everything, to knowing that God will take care of everything, to realize that the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is in control. Paul says that's our faith. You want to know how important this is? Paul would write this to Timothy as a young man or a younger man. And Paul had been in prison. Paul is out of prison at the time. A few years beyond this, Paul would write again to Timothy. It'd be his second letter to Timothy. But Paul would write from a very different circumstance. Paul would write from inside a prison. A prison. I mean, a prison. And when you see the pictures of where Paul was, man, all it was a room about the size of, probably about the size of, double the size of this maybe, or about this rise. And you would go down this stone staircase, and I don't know what the door on it was, and the picture that's there now is of an iron gate, and then you'd be in this room, and it was all stone. Stone floor, stone walls, no windows. There would only be one hole from up above, one hole where they could drop food down to the prisoner. But worse than that, Paul knew that this prison in which he was, that he was going to die. In the letter that he writes to Timothy, he says, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that at this point in his life was going to end because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He was going to be killed. He knew it. He could see it coming. He knew. He had witnessed. He had been there when Stephen had been stoned. He had stood there and watched as religious people had stoned Stephen. But now it was political, and now Nero in Rome was rising up and persecuting, and he knew that it was not going to be long before he would be taken out and he would be killed. And he writes to Timothy. And he's able to write to Timothy some very precious words. Oh, he would write to Timothy, in verse number 12 of chapter 1, he says, I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He says, I'm ready. He says, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. But go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and see how his faith has come to the place where he can be in a prison cell facing death and have a powerful faith because it's personal. Chapter 1 of 1 Timothy says, my faith is in God our Savior. That's where it commenced. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, my hope. He's conquered it all. My faith is in the grace and mercy and peace from God my Father. And my faith is in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Oh, it's getting really personal now. He knows he's about to be killed. He knows that Timothy will be left behind. And he knows that probably death that awaits him could very well await Timothy. And it says, Timothy, you're my dearly beloved son. But look at what he says. He says, and I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. He says, by the will of God. Stop and consider for a moment. He says, I'm in this prison cell. I'm in this prison. facing death. And he says, it's the will of God. But he also says this, not only by the will of God, but he says, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And he says, you know, as I sit and consider my life, as I consider the end of my life, my departure's at hand, I'm ready to be offered. He says, it's the will of God, but it's not the end of the world because of the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus. And then notice what he says, our Lord. He says, Timothy, I'm here because it's the will of God for my life. And I'm trusting in the promise of life in Jesus Christ for my life. He says, but Timothy, Jesus Christ is not only my Lord, he's your Lord. You know what I found interesting about that picture that I looked up and saw of where Paul was in prison? Is that if you looked down, all you saw was stones. If you looked around, all you saw is a stone wall. If you looked up, all you saw is a stone ceiling, except for this. In the top of that ceiling, there was one hole where they would drop food down. But you know what else came through that hole? One ray of sunlight. And you know what? If we look down, it's nothing good to see. If we look around, it's nothing good to see. But if we look up, boy, there's everything to see. And it's our faith. Powerful faith must be a personal faith. But a personal faith is in a person. God, our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. God, our Father. And Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray.